Well, I warmly welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and our King. It is good to see each and every one of you here. Good to see old friends, some new visitors. Good to see each of you. We're glad you can all be here with us today. We pray that you would be blessed as we gather to worship our King and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, today we're returning to our study through John. We're in John 16. And this section of this final discourse, we've been thinking about testifying of Jesus. We saw back that Jesus was calling his disciples, calling us to testify of Jesus. And alongside that work, the Holy Spirit comes and to empower and strengthen, to convict the world as the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus. But as we come today to verses 12 through 15, we're going to look at another aspect of the work of the Holy Spirit. I think it's intimately tied to the testifying work. This is the aspect that's foundational. It's necessary for each of us if we're going to testify of the Jesus Christ in the world. We're going to need the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. As I thought of this, how to talk to you about this, I thought, how would you compare a professional biographer writing a biography about a missionary or some founding father, compare that to a high school biography paper. Now, some of you in high school, I'm not dissing your work in your biography papers, but if you compare your work to a professional biographer, what's his job? His job is to really get to know that person. And if that person's dead, then they have to read documents that they wrote, and they want to read personal accounts about that person. How do you measure the work of a professional biographer? How well does he know that individual? Now, how does a teacher grade a high school biography sketch? Well, they're grading that high school biography sketch, and how well is that person, how well has he read those biographies? He's read about that person, but he hasn't come to really know that person. God calls us to testify about Jesus in the world, and we need something more than a high school biography sketch of Jesus. We need to know Jesus. We need to know him deeply and intimately and personally if we're going to testify of him in the world. And the only way that we can come to know Jesus in this way is if the Holy Spirit comes and works in our hearts. And not just once, but throughout our lives, again and again and again, every day. We need the Holy Spirit. We so often don't think about him. But I think as we look at these words, we'll see we need the Holy Spirit to teach us, to show us Jesus again and again and again. For time's sake, I'm not going to read the whole section. I'm not going to go back to 15:26 to verse 11. But think about those. If you were there the last time I had the opportunity to preach, the last couple times, we talked about these disciples, and Jesus is saying, I'm going to send you out to testify. You're going to suffer. Some of you are going to be killed, but you're going to go testify. And then he said, the Holy Spirit's going to be testifying. He's going to be convicting the world. Now, if we stop there and we don't read 12 to 15, what would those disciples have to testify about Jesus at this point in their life? What did they know? Just think about the disciples. Think about what we know of them from the New Testament. Think about what John has been writing about them, how they've been responding to Jesus. They've been confused. Up until recently, they still thought they were going to be empowered into some government power, and Jesus was going to be their king. They didn't have anything to testify yet. They could remember some of what Jesus taught them, but they were confused. Jesus was sending them out to do a work, but they were not yet ready to do that work. They needed something more. They needed something more, not just more information, not just more data. They needed to be transformed by the truth that they had not yet comprehended. They needed to be transformed by the truth that they had not yet comprehended. They had been called into a work, but they weren't yet ready to do that work. So how do we get ready to do the work? What do we need to do the work of testifying Jesus? And what do those disciples need to do their work of testifying of Jesus? Well, look in your Bibles to John chapter 16. We'll read verses 12 through 15. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. These disciples, they needed to be taught, and not just information. Remember we talked about the Holy Spirit a few weeks ago, that he was communicating this transformational truth. Not just informational truth, but transformational truth. And he's applying that truth to every aspect of these disciples' lives. And that's what he needs. These disciples need to be transformed by this amazing truth that they had not yet understood. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot know Christ. We cannot grow in our knowledge of Christ. And we can't impact anyone else for the glory of Christ. And just as it was true for these disciples, the Holy Spirit would reveal to them real truth so they could write the New Testament. So it's true for us. We need that same Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to us. As we read this revealed word, we need to be transformed so that we can be used in his kingdom to take his word into the world. So what I want you to get today, as we think about these words for a few minutes, I want you to get a sense of wonder at God, at how he is working. If you're a Christian, I want to give you a sense of joy that you have the Holy Spirit. This is what you have. As I talk about him, this is what you have. But I want to give you more than that. I want each one here, whether you're a Christian or you're not, I want to give you a desperate need for the Holy Spirit. Because Christian, you have a desperate need for the Holy Spirit to do anything at all for the glory of God. You need the Holy Spirit. If you're an unbeliever today, I hope that this becomes clearer and clearer to you today. You have a desperate need for the Holy Spirit to come into your life and give you life. You need it. You need the Holy Spirit. So our outline is fairly simple. I have a three-point outline. The role of the Holy Spirit, the message of the Holy Spirit, and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. So I want to look at these things. So let's look at the text. First, let's look at the role of the Holy Spirit. Verse 12 and 13. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak. So what is the role of the Holy Spirit? He's our guide. He's our guide. Now, when I was a younger guy, I would go camping with my brother. And maybe I've talked about these trips. There were these wonderful trips we took. We went camping through South Dakota and Montana and Wyoming and a little bit of Colorado. It was just beautiful. I mean, I took 10 days. It was wonderful. Single guy, you just could do it. The first stop was in South Dakota. It was in the Badlands. Has anybody you've ever been to the Badlands? It's really fantastic. It's almost just amazing. And we were just stopping to camp. We hadn't thought about it at all. We just stopped there for as a place to camp. And it was just amazing. And we didn't go very far. But it's this massive wilderness. And we stayed very close to the road. But it's really vast. And you can go wandering out there and walking and walking and walking. And the rangers, we would talk to the rangers, and they're really clear. If you don't know what you're doing, do not go wandering in the wilderness because you will die. You'll run out of water, you will get lost, and you will die. Don't do it. It is dangerous. It was the summertime. It was hot. You go out in the Badlands and go wandering off not knowing what you're doing, you're going to die if you don't have a guide. You need a guide if you're going to walk out into the wilderness. You need a guide. And these disciples, they were in a wilderness. They were in the wilderness of their own confusion and anxiety. In a few hours, they would begin a journey through the wilderness of deep suffering as they see their Savior taken from them and crucified. They would have to go through the journey of their own failure as they all abandoned Jesus. And later, they would go through the wilderness of persecution, but Jesus was giving them a guide. They had a guide to walk through this wilderness. They had a guide to guide them into the truth. Out of their confusion into understanding, out of darkness into light, out of fear and into joy. And, you know, we find ourselves in the wilderness of our lives. Maybe you're not a believer today. And if you're not a believer today and you're thinking about the world, you think this is your life. The world is a wilderness. You are lost in a world that without God makes no sense. And if you're honest about it, you're thinking about it, that's life. The world makes no sense without God. And you're lost in this wilderness. You need a guide. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you receive this perfect guide for the rest of your life and for all eternity. You have God living in you as your guide. But Christian, maybe you feel like this. Maybe you've backslidden. You've been playing with sin and you've talked about how it doesn't really matter. And little by little, you've become uncaring. And little by little, you've been quenching the Spirit by playing with this sin. Well, I hope I can encourage you today. I can encourage you today to repent. That this is so necessary for you to have this guide that no sin should keep you from having a rich, vibrant relationship with the Holy Spirit guiding your life. Because you need this, Christian. You need this. You need this guide. You need the Holy Spirit. So let's consider, what does the text tell us about this guide? About what does he do? Well, at first, I titled it this way, looking at verse 12, he gives us information when we have been prepared to receive it. Look at verse 12 and the beginning of verse 13. I'll try to explain what I mean. Jesus says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Just think of how well the Savior knew his disciples. He says, they couldn't bear any more truth. They couldn't take any more. I have more things to tell you, things you'll need to know, things the church is going to need, but you can't bear it now. They haven't yet been prepared. The Holy Spirit would come to guide them after they had been prepared by God to receive more. So you think back to your guide in the Badlands. You're going out to the Badlands. Now you have your guide, so he's going to tell you what to do. Now, if the first thing the guy does is sit down, opens a map, and takes out his compass and his protractor, and starts talking about navigation to you, and you don't know anything about anything, you're like, wait, why are you using that protractor? What are you doing here? He has to prepare you to even understand what he's going to do, right? That's what a good guy does. He has to prepare you to receive the information. Well, the Holy Spirit, he brings us the information as God's providence prepares us to receive it. It's interesting, thinking about the text here is not clear as to what was going to take place for all these disciples. So I'm thinking a little bit using my knowledge of what goes on with these disciples in the near future. How does God prepare them? But what I think is happening here is they needed to walk through a specific experience before they could understand what was going on. They had to walk through a life experience. God's providence had to bring them through something before they could receive any more. I mean, could Jesus right then have told them, I'm going to die on the cross, and three days later, I'm going to rise from the dead, and the sins of the world are going to be thrown on me, and all who believe on me will be saved. He could have told them all that, but he chose not to. They weren't ready to even process that yet. They had to walk through those experiences. They had to go through the suffering, and on the other side of their suffering, seeing Jesus rise from the dead, and then receiving the Holy Spirit to really understand all that's taken place, then they could receive more information. They had to be prepared to receive more information. They could not yet understand the truth, to really understand and be transformed by the truth that Jesus would accomplish salvation for the world on the cross and would victoriously rise from the dead, bringing the new creation into being in his resurrected body. They couldn't even understand the beginnings of that. So God brings them through their experience, and the Holy Spirit comes to teach them, to help them to understand these things. And this is the same thing for us. Now these disciples, we want to go back and forth. They had a very specific place in time, and I think these words are very specific to them. They had to go through this suffering of seeing Jesus die and rise from the dead so they could write the New Testament. I mean, this was very unique. But for us, there's something similar here. Doesn't God have to deal with us that way? The Holy Spirit deals with us. He brings us through suffering so that we can come to know truth that we weren't ready to receive before that suffering. The Holy Spirit doesn't just dump all the truth we ever need at once. Now, granted, in conversion, when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, radical things take place. You go from being dead to being alive. a massive amounts of things become true in our minds. We see Jesus as our God. Our hearts are changed from dead to life. Our eyes see. Wonderful things take place. But we don't learn all of our sin in that one moment. The Holy Spirit doesn't just information dump everything into our experience at that one moment. Little by little, as God's providence brings us through life, we see more and more. We go through a suffering and we come to know, not just about, but we come to know the truth of God's faithfulness. We could not have known that before we went through that suffering. We go through disappointments, sometimes just desperate, deep disappointments, to come to know, not just about, but come to know the value of the love of Jesus. And we couldn't have known that before that disappointment. So God brings us through an event, through suffering, through a life experience, preparing us, and the Holy Spirit comes alongside and teaches us. Have you ever had that experience where you've read your Bible and you come to a passage you've read a million times, and all of a sudden, bang, that's my sin. Earth shattering. The world shakes. This is me. God's talking to me in that moment. Up until that point, well, maybe you were being slack and you weren't reading your Bibles very well. But maybe it was God was just bringing through your life experience, the things happening in your life right now, and then the Holy Spirit takes the word and applies it to you because you're ready. You're ready to receive this word. Now, of course, without the Holy Spirit, we can get intellectual information about God. We can read our systematic theologies, and we can put it all down, and we can pass a test. You can do that without the Holy Spirit. You can learn about God. But only with the Holy Spirit can you be transformed to know the true and living God. You need the Holy Spirit. If you're going to take that knowledge, which is good, it's good to study your systematic theology. It's good to know God as deeply as we can. But if we're going to take that knowledge and actually transform our lives, transform us in how we talk, transform us in how we love, transform how we work, transform how we play, transform how we deal with our families, we need the Holy Spirit. It's not just information dump. God has to prepare us and change us, and the Holy Spirit takes the word into our lives and applies it into every aspect of our lives. The Holy Spirit has to do that. And we need the Holy Spirit to do that. Without Him, we can do nothing. And just to look up a little brief application here. If this is how the Holy Spirit works, and Jesus knew they weren't ready for more, and the Holy Spirit was going to come and give them everything they needed. Maybe, should we learn from that and how we talk to people? We talk to each other to know one another. Maybe someone in the middle of their suffering, it's not the right time to dump everything you know about God's sovereignty on them at that moment. Maybe it's not the right time. Maybe as you're talking to an unbeliever, you don't have to say everything about everything every time. Maybe it's, what are they ready to hear? Maybe God's opening a door for them to hear a little bit, and you start, and you come back later. So just a little bit of application. That's the way the Holy Spirit works. And the Holy Spirit is working along us, help our helper to bring our word. So let's be thoughtful. Don't feel like we have to say everything all the time. But what can someone bear? What can they hear? How can they be transformed? Well, the Holy Spirit there, just very briefly, he's our guide, and he gives us information we've been prepared to receive. But then secondly, he gives us information that he has received. I'll be very brief here, but look at verse 13. When he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Back to our guide in the Badlands. He has learned his trade from another guide, a master, and he's passing that on down to you. We don't want some guide who's trying new stuff. You're out in the Badlands, and he says, well, today we're going to try something new. I heard that if you have salt water, you start retaining fluids, and that's what we want. We want to retain our fluids. Let's put some water, some salt in our water, and we'll show you how that works today. It's a new idea. Well, if you're not sure about that, it's really a bad idea. It's not good. We don't want new ideas. But I think why Jesus says this about the Holy Spirit. The point, I think there's one message from God. There's not conflicting messages, like the Holy Spirit has this opinion, and Jesus has this opinion, and the Father has this opinion. There's one message from God. It's the faithful and true message that comes from God to us. But Jesus did the same thing. Don't turn there, but in John 8:28, Jesus says of himself, I do nothing on my own initiative, same word, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. Jesus, when he walked on the earth, took that one message from God and he gave it to the world. And as Jesus went away, the Holy Spirit was going to come and he's going to keep giving that same message, filling it up, perfecting it, but it was the same message. The faithful, true message of God. So he shares with us this dependable, faithful message, teaching those disciples what they needed so they could write our Bibles. And then now as we read our Bibles, the Holy Spirit comes and teaches us the same message, the same truth. There is one truth. You know, Paul says if someone comes and preaches another gospel, he is to be accursed. There's only one truth. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way. And that's the message we get from God. The faithful, true message. And that's what he comes to bring us. He's our guide. He gives us what we're prepared to receive. And he gives us what he himself has received. So do you need a guide? Do you think you need a guide in your life? Do you see that, Christian, that you need the Holy Spirit every time you open your Bible? That if the Holy Spirit's not working, and you're reading the Bible, you're just reading words. You need the Holy Spirit. That's how dependent we are. That's how truly needy we are. You need the Holy Spirit to rightly understand your circumstances, your joys, your pains, your sufferings. We need him. There's error and confusion in the world. We need the Holy Spirit. There's confusion in our own hearts. We need the Holy Spirit. We need him to guide us into the truth. But Christian, you have him. You have this guide in your life right now. You have him. The Bible, it's interesting, the Bible talks about spiritual gifts. It doesn't talk about that as a separate thing from God, as if he gives us a package of Legos. The spiritual gifts are a manifestation of the Spirit. Right? So in you, God, your gift is the Holy Spirit in you. That's what your gift is. It's the Holy Spirit in you. And the Bible says we're to stir up those gifts. We're to seek those gifts. We're to pursue those gifts. Why is that? So we will know more of this Holy Spirit, this guide in our lives. We'll know more of him working in our lives. We'll know more of him in all the aspects of our lives. So do that. We need this guide. Let's seek him. I'm going to get off topic here. I'm off my notes. But there's no separation between knowing the Holy Spirit in our life and application of living out that Holy Spirit. Like, I'm just going to know all this good stuff, but I'm not ever actually going to do anything. I'm never actually going to obey or be changed or engage myself. We never actually know the Holy Spirit. Those things always come together. When we exercise our spiritual gifts, it means pursuing our knowledge and experience of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's how we get to know him. There's no other way. There's no other way of just, I'm just going to read a little bit about him. Isn't that interesting? No, it has to be application. It has to be my soul, my life engaged in this if I'm ever going to know him. We can't separate those two things out. Okay, so that's our guide. The will of the Holy Spirit is our guide. So secondly, if he's our guide into the truth, what is the truth? What is the message? What is the message of the Holy Spirit? Well, let's go back now to the end of verse 13 and read on through 15. The Holy Spirit will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Three times he used that word disclose. He's disclosing or revealing or making known. He's making known something. He's making known reality. And again, I always want to put this in your head. This making known is not just data. It's not just information, but it's information that transforms your life. It's always application in your life. That's what he's making known. These things. So, but in this, all of his disclosing and revealing, Jesus Christ is at the center. He's at the center of history. Jesus Christ is the truth. When God reveals himself, he reveals himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And then the Holy Spirit explains Jesus to us. It's the triune understanding of truth and knowledge. The image of God in the person of Jesus applied, understood by the Holy Spirit. So everything that we need to know from Jesus and about Jesus will be disclosed through the Holy Spirit. Everything we need to know. Now, we don't get to learn everything about Jesus. We don't have minds capable to know everything about God. But everything we need to know about Jesus and from Jesus are disclosed through the Holy Spirit. And in this message, this truth that he is presenting, there are two big ideas. And we can get this. Kids, you can get this. He gives us things that we are to believe, things to believe, and he gives us a person to believe in. So if we want big words, it's propositional truth. It gives us propositions, things we have to believe. But he also gives us relational truth. He brings us into a relationship of truth with an individual, with God. Some people, I think it's important to make this distinction, and I think we see this in the passage. Maybe you've heard this, that Christianity is a relationship and not a religion. Have you heard that? I'm not sure I understand what that means. So even in the best light, maybe that has some good meaning to it. But it's not true. Christianity is a religion. At the center of that religion is a relationship. You know, our relationship with Jesus is the center of the religion. It's the center of your Christian life. But God gives us stuff to believe. You have to believe these things. And you should do these things. You have an order. You have elders and deacons. You have baptism and the Lord. This is religion. God gives us stuff to do. He gives us ethical requirements. So the Holy Spirit is disclosing both. Both things to believe and a person to believe in. So the first, let's think about the things to believe. The Holy Spirit teaches us things to believe. That's probably not the best heading, but we're going to use it. Look at verse 13, and it's going to take us a little bit, I think, to get there. But look at verse 13. He will disclose to you what is to come. Now, by definition, he's disclosing information. I will disclose to you what is to come. And the commentators disagree radically about what these words mean. And I tend to agree with those commentators that are the most broad, and they think this covers the most information. So I'm going to cover a bunch of information. What could it possibly mean for him, the Holy Spirit, to disclose, to reveal to us what is to come? Well, certainly it would mean for the disciples, you could think of John's revelation. You could jump all the way to the end, that they had some disclosure, some understanding of what is to come in the far future, the very end of all things. Paul and Peter had images of the end. So it would include these prophetic words of the end. But it doesn't only mean that. It also can include a spirit-wrought understanding of what is to come. Not only the end times, but just understanding what is life in the new covenant. He's disclosing and revealing what's to come to the whole new creation coming into being through the new covenant in the world. You can think of taking all Jesus' teachings, his ethical teachings, and it's explaining, how do you live that out in the new covenant? How do you live that out in the future for these disciples? For Paul's writings about how to live the New Testament life, that's the Holy Spirit revealing to him how to live in this future new covenant church age. He's revealing what is to come. But also, and this is maybe the hardest to understand, several people thought this, and I thought this is interesting. It could also include understanding the things that were just about to take place. He's revealing to them, disclosing to them what is to come. He's actually giving them an understanding of what's about to take place. And they won't understand this until later, which is why the language is a little bit weird. But understanding what is actually taking place on the cross. What's actually taking place in the resurrection. What's happening. Those disciples needed the Holy Spirit to come and disclose those things to them. Those ideas that must be believed of what took place on the cross and in the resurrection. The Holy Spirit had to come to reveal what was to take place. Now, these are ideas. The Holy Spirit reveals, and we need these ideas. So if you're in your Bibles, flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, I preached from this on Easter, but I want to look back at these things. This is obvious. But just in case anyone's here in the relationship camp, I just need to know Jesus, there are things that you have to believe to be saved. This is Paul writing in verse 1 of chapter 15. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast to the words which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So right there he's saying, you have to believe this stuff. If you're going to be saved, you have to hold fast to these things. And what do you have to hold fast to? You have to believe. For if I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. You have to believe these things. And the Holy Spirit is required if anyone's ever going to believe this. The Holy Spirit had to reveal the reality of what took place on the cross to those disciples so they could be transformed by that gospel and write it down for us. If the Holy Spirit didn't teach them, they wouldn't have anything to write. And the Holy Spirit is necessary for any of us here to understand these things. If you're still in 1 Corinthians, just flip to the beginning, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And this is a great section where Paul is talking about the world and how they respond to the gospel, but just zero in on verse 14 here. How necessary is the Holy Spirit so that anybody can understand these truths about Jesus? Verse 14, a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. Apart from the Holy Spirit, we are natural men, natural women, and we cannot accept these things of God. You can't. You can learn these facts, but you can't be transformed by this truth unless you have the Holy Spirit. You have to have the Holy Spirit. That's how dependent we are. And Christian, that doesn't stop at conversion. You have to have the Holy Spirit again and again and again to keep you believing, to keep you understanding, to grow you in your knowledge. You have to have the Holy Spirit every day to understand your Bible. Without Him, little by little, we fall away, we get dull, we get cold to Scripture. Cold to God. We go to that dangerous place. We need the Holy Spirit. So He gives us things to believe, but I always say more importantly, but you can't really distinguish that. He gives us a person to believe in. You need these things to believe, but He gives us a person to believe in. The Holy Spirit brings us to Jesus, and Jesus brings us to the Father. Verse 14 and 15. For He will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that He takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Of course, there's some overlap here between those things you have to believe that we just thought about. But the Holy Spirit reveals or discloses that which is of Christ. He's taking the things that the Father has given to Jesus and He's revealing them to us. And primarily at the heart of all that is Jesus. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to you. And only by the Holy Spirit can we come to know this. You can't know God, know Him, without the Holy Spirit. The reality of God as my Father, the reality of God as my Creator, as my owner, as my Master, perfect in power and wisdom and holiness and beauty, full of love and compassion, full of justice. You can know those words, but you can't come to know that for yourself unless the Holy Spirit works in your heart. And continues to work in your heart, stirring up faith. Apart from the Holy Spirit, you can't know the reality of the person of Jesus Christ, that He is the eternal Son of God, really human, completely God, that He is willing in love to die for my sin, to die for your sin if you believe on Him. You can't accept that. You can't know that unless the Holy Spirit breaks in on your life and shows you this truth. And takes this truth and buries it deep down into your heart and into your life. This is what Jesus was talking about back in chapter 3 when, remember, Nicodemus came to ask Jesus about, you know, what do I need to do? You have to be born again. God has to come and change you by the Holy Spirit to give you a new heart. You must be born again. You must have a new heart, a new mind, new eyes, and new ears so that you can say, Jesus died for me. Apart from the Holy Spirit, you can never say that. Jesus died for me. We can't get there by ourselves. And if you're here today and in all of your life you've been working at this by yourself, you haven't gotten there. You haven't even started. Salvation from start to finish is all of God. He planned it in eternity past. He accomplished it on the cross, and He applies it to dead sinners through His Holy Spirit. It's all God. He calls them to that work, but it's all Him. We need the Holy Spirit for all of our salvation. And so there we are in the wilderness of our lives. We're in this wilderness, and we need this guide. We need this guide. Do you feel, have I impressed that upon you, Christian? that the Holy Spirit working in your life is vitally important. It's not some weird thing that's happening out there that I never think about, but we need Him active in our life all the time. We need Him so that we can grow in our righteousness. We can fight our sin. We can be useful at all. You need Him. Have I conveyed at least that? Christian, you need the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that we can quench Him with our sin. That we can. And what would that be like? There you are in the wilderness with your guide, and he's trying to tell you to drink your water and come over here and let's go this way. And you're like, no thanks. I'm just going to go dump all my water out and run around over here until I fall down and pass out. It's fine. I'm good. You're running away from the guide of life. You have your guide. You can quench him. You can. Where does that lead? It leads to God bringing judgment. God bringing, if you're his child, bringing discipline, which is not going to be pleasant, to bring you back into your experience of the Holy Spirit. So follow the guide. That's the way of safety. That's the way of life. That's the way of hope. And he brings us this truth. He guides us into truth, things to believe. But most, we have a person to believe in. And then very, very, very briefly, what is the purpose then of that Holy Spirit? What is the purpose of that guide? Without this guide, we're lost. And he brings us to this person, Jesus Christ, apart from whom there's no salvation. So what is his purpose, this Holy Spirit? In verse 14, it says simply, he will glorify me. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus Christ. Well, how does he do that? Well, I think it's simple. It's astounding, but I think it's simple. He shows people Jesus. That's it. Jesus is so beautiful. His love, his compassion, his strength, his determination, his joy, his righteousness. He is so radiant in his beauty, that if you see him, you love him. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He shows people Jesus. And if you see him, you love him. And if you love him, you glorify him. If you don't love Jesus, if you don't love him, it's because you're dead. And that's the only explanation. Jesus is so beautiful. If you are alive and have eyes to see him, he is the most glorious, beautiful, radiant person in the universe. If you don't love him, you need new eyes. You need a new heart. You need a new mind. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what he does. He shows us Jesus. He delights in showing us Jesus. Maybe you've heard this illustration, or I'm not even sure what to call it. They said the Holy Spirit is like a big flashlight. What does he do? He's always shining on Jesus Christ. And Jesus is so beautiful. Once you see him, you love him. And you're transformed by him. And he's glorified because he takes us, what are we? We're these broken wretches. We're these miserable sinners. And by his power, we're transformed because we see Jesus by this beautiful light. And we see him. And we're transformed and we become what? Sons and daughters of God. Glorious in Jesus Christ. That gives glory to Jesus. But every time that light shines on Jesus and we see him, he's always pointing to the Father. He's always drawing us into the Father. And you have this great, perfect, perfect, radiant, triune love. The Holy Spirit shining on Jesus. Jesus pointing us on to the Father. We find in the Father's perfect love. Remember back in the beginning in John 13 of this talk? Remember he says, this is the circle of glory. Now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. And if God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him immediately. It's like glory, 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 glory. That's what happens. The Holy Spirit draws us in to this circle of glory. And we're united to Christ and we see his glory. He shows us the Father's glory. And then we're drawn into that glory. We experience that glory. And we'll be glorified finally and perfectly forever. We're part of that swirl, mad, wonderful glory forever and ever and ever. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing. That's what the Holy Spirit has to do today, right now, for some of you. God, Jesus deserves all the glory of the universe. And if you love him, you know that. Christian, if you know Jesus, you believe that in all of your heart. That Jesus deserves all the glory of the universe. That's where your heart lives. That's where our hearts burst to glorify Jesus. So Christian, what should you do with this? If that's you, your heart burst to glorify Jesus, I hope this sermon has just stirred you up to be joyful at the Holy Spirit. I have the Spirit to guide me into this truth, and He's going to continue to teach me and use me. May the Holy Spirit stir you up to love more, to follow Him more. But maybe, Christian, maybe you need to be repenting of your sin. Maybe if you take your pulse, your spiritual pulse, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of life there. And maybe you've just backslidden. Maybe the world has crept into your mind and your life, and it's dulled everything down. You need to cry out, Holy Spirit, come, shake me up. Holy Spirit, come teach me. Holy Spirit, come change me. Show me Jesus again. Let me see Him. Let me be changed. But maybe Christian, maybe you've called yourself a Christian. Maybe you like the respectability of being a Christian. Maybe you've sat in a church all your life with the label Christian. But if you're honest with yourself, you've never loved Jesus. You've never had a spiritual pulse. You've never had a heart that cried out for God. You've gone through motions and you look pretty good. Maybe you've been had a role. Maybe you've been an elder or a deacon. But you've never known the love of God. You've never seen Jesus. What do you need? A friend. You may be in a desperately dangerous place. You need to cry out, Holy Spirit, show me Jesus. I've been faking it for 50 years. I need Jesus. I need the real thing. No more of this. No more fake religion. I need the real thing. I need Jesus that transforms my life. It blasts away my fear of man. It shows me the way to go. It shows me in my life. It changes me. I've never been changed. I need to be changed. But maybe someone here, you're here today and you know you're not a Christian. You're not even pretending. But maybe you know you need a guide. There's only one. There's only one way, friend. And that's the Holy Spirit comes into your life and gives you life. But friends, our Father who made all things is so excited about salvation, is so bent to save a people for Himself that He has purposed His will and energy to send His Son to pay the infinite cost to purchase salvation for all who believe on Him. And He's so excited about salvation that He sent His Spirit to cover the world to call a people for Himself. If you believe, if you'll cry out and say, I cannot do this myself. My sin is dragging me down. I can't get free of it. I need You, Holy Spirit, to change me. I need You, Holy Spirit, to work in me. I need You, Holy Spirit, to give me a new life, to show me Jesus. If you do that, our Lord loves to save. He loves to save. Cry out. Don't spend another day rejecting Jesus. Wandering in the wilderness, you're in the Badlands, you have no water, and you have no idea where you're going. You will die. It will be over. But there's a guide for you, the Holy Spirit. And we need Him. Every one of us, we need Him. We need Him. We need Him. So at the end of the day, you can go home, and next week, what did Paul preach about? I don't remember. We need the Holy Spirit. You remember that? Can you remember that? We need the Holy Spirit. If you forget everything else, we get that one, right? And that's good enough. Maybe I should have been a 5-second sermon. That's it. We need the Holy Spirit. Okay? All right, well, let's pray. We're gonna sing a song, number 331 in our red books. But let's pray first. Why don't we stand and pray, and then we'll sing 331. So please stand with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, oh great God, we do love You. Great God, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You that You have sent Your Holy Spirit. We thank You, God, that even now You are working among us. And God, we find ourselves so desperately needy. Lord, we need Your Holy Spirit to work in our lives. We need Your Holy Spirit to change us. Every one of us, we need more of You. So God, please, we pray, send down Your Holy Spirit. As we leave this place and go back to our lives, we go to our jobs, to our school, to our families. Oh God, pour out Your Holy Spirit that we would know You. that we would be changed by that knowledge, transformed, oh God, that all of our lives would be impacted by the radiant beauty of Jesus Christ. Oh God, please, please help us. Please work in our lives. Please save some even today. Please send down your Holy Spirit and help us. In Jesus' name, amen.